الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It was said that Amir al-Mu'mineen عليه الصلاة والسلام says لا تكن عبد غيرك وقد جعلك الله حرا. That never be a slave of another when Allah has made you free. Among the great sayings from Sayyid al-Shuhada that have been reported to us, is that Imam himself, in all the events that unfolded, he introduces a lesson for everyone, an advice, an ibrah, a moral. And the reason that is pure existence is the Imam of guidance. He is the Imam of Noor, the Imam of Fitra, the Imam of humanity, Imam of freedom. And this Imama which he possesses, it's not something which he acquires. It is assigned, appointed by Allah. To prove this concept of Imama, we do not need a lot of ayat from Quran, just a few ayat. Or just one ayah also would do. The ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah has a very vast discussion, as discussed in Majma'ul Bayan of Aminul Islam Tabarsi in Volume 1, says that this verse, it has 30 issues relating to Prophet Ibrahim, that Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, he points out. He points out at all of these 30 issues, and in one sentence and in easy words, Prophet Ibrahim, he completed these 30 stages of worship and he arrives at a rank. That is, that obedience, that ubudiyyah, which is of 30 different stages, Prophet Ibrahim got them, he sought them. A worship, it has to be wholly and solely for Allah, all of it. Nothing in that worship should be for anyone else but for Allah. Again, this is another meaning of freedom. Prophet Ibrahim, he arrived at that goal, at that aged age of his, and he perfected those 30 stages. One of the ayat in Quran says that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he arrived or he perfected worship 100%, or he achieved those 30 stages when he was just 19 or 20 years of age. Quran says that وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. That among the mankind you find someone who has sold himself to the pleasure of Allah. Wallahu ra'ufun bil ibad, and Allah is ra'uf and kind towards his servants. Says that he sold himself to Allah, not to anything else, not for the sake of paradise, not due to the fear of hell, to Allah. Worship, it has been described in of three stages. There is a worship, there is an ibadah, which is ibadat khawfi, that a person, he worships God, he offers his prayers because of the fear of the hell. And Allama Tabatabai, he says that may that worship be a worship which is khawfi, or may that be a worship which is tamai, for the sake of the paradise. In both, a little bit of shirk is found. In any case, he says that even if that much is there, and we were to worship Allah for the sake of fear of the hell, or for the sake of the paradise, that too is acceptable. But we have to see that, do we do it that way, or that is also not, that doesn't exist in us. Some do, some don't. Prayers, fast, zakat, khums, rights in the community, children, parents, etc. These are the basic things. Now, on that night, what task did Amirul Mu'mineen perform? That an ayah is revealed and says that مِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْتْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتَغَى مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. What did he do? Giving away his life for the sake of the Prophet. There were 40 people on guard watching the whereabouts of the Prophet, what he's doing. And the Prophet says that I have to reach Medina alive. I want you to stay here in my place, in my bed, until I get to Medina. Imam says, I have to stay here from Maghrib to Fajr. Says yes. And in those days, it wasn't as such that they had a CCTV, or they had these satellites, or the NASA was there to help and see what is happening over there. No, it was only that naked eye which the men on the watch out, they saw. And what did they see? It's either Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir or Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil. They saw the Prophet who is cloaked, or they saw the Prophet who is covered when he is asleep. So that's how they found out. Now that guard on the watch out saw that there is someone in the place of the Prophet asleep, and they said the Prophet is there. They ambush, they come to attack at midnight, and they found that the Prophet is not there and Amirul Mu'mineen is there. For that worship of Amirul Mu'mineen, an ayah is revealed that among the mankind there is someone who sells his soul for the sake of the Jews to seek the pleasure of Allah. And initially, when the Prophet says that, Ali, will you be in my place until I reach alive to Medina? Amirul Mu'mineen says, you want one life from Ali? Had he 1,000 lives, all of those 1,000 lives were ransomed to the presence of the Prophet. So that is a merchandise, a deal, not with the Prophet, but with Allah. So he does something not for the pleasure of the Prophet, but to seek the pleasure of Allah. A lesson which is taught over here is that we must not bow down before anyone but Allah. The temptations we get around, the wives, the children, well, dunya positions, all these, they have to be bypassed. And Amirul Mu'mineen, from the first day until the 21st of the month of Ramadan, he just bypassed everything that came across. And if there was anyone present in his life, it was only Allah. Now this is tough. It is very tough. No one can be like Amirul Mu'mineen, as he himself has said, nor do we claim that we are like him. We just want to know how it was and try to have a gloomy resemblance with him, a very vague, a very far away resemblance, a reflection. So worship is either tamai, to get something, and that is the paradise, khawfi, that is due to the fear of Allah or fear of the hell, or there is a third stage which belongs to the ma'asumin and to Amirul Mu'mineen. If our house, if it's in need of some repairs, a plumber needs to be there. What we do, we just get a quote, we find a plumber and he says, I'll fix it for $500. You accept and he comes and takes over the charge and does it. Or if it's a doctor, you see him and he says that this is the problem in you. Your tonsils need to be removed or your appendix needs to be removed. Blindly you accept the saying of the plumber, blindly you accept the saying of the doctor and hand over the affairs to him so that he carries out everything for you. But how do we deal with Allah? 50 years, 40 years, 30 years after eating, after benefiting from all His blessings, do we have a little bit of a devotion to Him or don't we? Sayyid al-Shuhada in that ziyarat, in that dua Arafah, which he recited on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, in that desert of Arafat, hot under the heat of the sun. And there he cries, and the reports they say that when he cried, his shoulders shook. What does he say in that dua Arafah? He says that, أَنْتَ الَّذِي رَزَقْتَ. O God, it is you who provided the sustenance. أَنْتَ الَّذِي وَفَّقْتَ. It is you who made me blessed with all these opportunities. أَنْتَ الَّذِي أَعْطَيْتَ. It is you who gave me. أَنْتَ الَّذِي أَغْنَيْتَ. It is you who made me free from want. أَنْتَ الَّذِي آوَيْتَ. It is you who provided me the shelter. أَنْتَ الَّذِي كَفَيْتَ. أَنْتَ الَّذِي هَدَيْتَ. It is you who guided. It is you who protected. It is you who saved, etc., etc., etc. He is reminded of all the blessings that Allah has given to him. Now these few tablets, a few chemicals, or a plumber, what can he do? If someone needs cure, needs shifa, many a times you come and see that no matter what medication is there, no matter what chemicals are being given, no matter how many surgeries and operations are being done, you come to a dead end. Nothing is happening. No medication is having its effect. Why is that? The reason for all that is the effect is from somewhere else. He doesn't want that effect to happen. Again, if you look into Quran regarding Prophet Ibrahim, says that وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. That when I fell sick, when I get ill, it is Huwa, which is Allah, who grants me cure. So many a times when you come to a dead end, it is not as such that there's something wrong with the medicine. No, the medicine is correct. The patient is also okay. But Allah doesn't want that to happen. We don't seem to see that. We have to do something so that we become a friend of Allah. We befriend with Allah. Have to have tawakkul to rely upon Him. And that tawakkul again will give you freedom. Among the assignments that were given to all of the prophets, in addition to the invitation and da'wah of Tawheed, some of the prophets were given additional duties. Prophet Nuh was to teach his nation how to trust and how to rely on God. Prophet Dawood was to teach the concept of love to his nation. So on and so forth. So what is this tawakkul? Tawakkul means to rely upon Allah. As you rely in your day-to-day affairs upon someone else to carry out your tasks, you get a lawyer, a solicitor. The same way Allah says that you, in your day-to-day affairs, rely upon Allah. Sometimes a person relies on himself, sometimes he relies on others, sometimes he relies on Allah. When he relies on himself, it's not bad. When he relies on others, it's very bad. When he relies on God, that's very good. To rely upon God doesn't mean that when we do nothing, we have to strive, we have to work. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the ayah is revealed that whosoever relies upon Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. من يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. That whosoever relies upon Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. So people, what they do is that they leave behind their day-to-day tasks when they should be in the fields and farms, and they occupy in the mosques in worship. Rasulullah was passing by and he says that, what are you doing here? You should be in the farms and fields. They say that we heard an ayah is revealed that whosoever relies upon God, then God is sufficient for him. And the Prophet in reply says that you rely on God, antumul mutawakkilun, you are a burden on the society. If you rely on God, go and work. Be in the fields, be in the farms. That is to rely on God. To rely upon God is that we perform our day-to-day tasks and duties. At the same time, the soul and the ruh, the spirit of an individual, has to rest on God. I've done my task, O God, the result should be from you. You want me to get cured, I've taken that medication, shifa should be from you. I take the channel, and at the same time, I wait for the result from Allah. That is tawakkul.
Yes.
Once, when Prophet Musa fell ill, Bani Israel, they say that, Musa, take these herbs, take these medications, and you will find cure. Musa says, no, I won't. I want Allah to cure me. And then he doesn't take any of this medication, and his health gets worse and worse. And then he says that, God, I wanted you to cure me. Wahi is revealed that, Musa, you wanted me to nullify the whole pattern, the chain of cause and effect which I have created. That's not going to happen. You want shifa, the path, the channel to go is that you have to consume that medication, those herbs that Bani Israel were offering you. Take them, and then shifa is from me. So a person has to rely upon Allah. Doesn't mean that he puts everything aside. Consume whatever part the channel is in the community, do it. Heart and the soul has to rest on Allah. In a hadith, a person traveling to seek knowledge, he says that I've finished all my money, I haven't got anything left. His companion says that, now what will you do? He says that we are going to get to a town, the next stop. I've got a friend over there, very wealthy. If I just tell him this is the problem, he's going to sort me out and give me lots of money. And then this companion says that, by God, you will not get to that. He says, how? He says, I heard the sixth Imam say, quote from Allah in a hadith in Qudsi, that whosoever has faith in others will never get to it. That faith has to be in God. And then he quotes this lengthy hadith mentioned in Usul al-Kafi. He says that, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي وَمَجْدِي وَارْتِفَاعِي عَلَىٰ عَرْشِي, that by my might, by my honor, by my dignity and my exaltedness on the throne, Allah is saying, لَوْقَتَّعَنَّ أَمَلَ كُلِّ مُؤَمِّلٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ غَيْرِي بِالْيَأْسِ, that I will certainly, definitely break the hopes of everyone who has hopes on others apart from me. Allah says, I will break their hopes. Not just that, وَلَأَكْسُوَنَّهُ ثَوْبَ الْمَذَلَّةِ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ, and I will make him wretched and dhaleel before mankind. Why? وَلَأَكْسُوَنَّهُ ثَوْبَ الْمَذَلَّةِ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ, and then says, وَلَأَنْحِيَنَّهُ مِنْ قُرْبِي وَلَأُبَعْدَنَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِي, and I will put him aside, separate me, distance him from me, from my presence and my grace both. And then says that, أَيَأُمُّلُ غَيْرِي فِي الشَّدَائِبِ, that when he is in need, when he is afflicted, when he has problems, why does he stretch his hands before others? Whence the problems were from me? I created all the hurdles, all those problems. وَالشَّدَائِدُ بِيَدِي, And then says that, and in these problems that were afflicted to that person, he knocks every other door but the door he should knock, which is the door of Allah. Says, the doors, I close them and I will never open them unless he asks me. It's a lengthy hadith, and then Allah concludes in that. In the end, says that, أَفَيَرَانِي أَبَدًا بِالْعَطَىٰ قَبْلَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. Do you think that I can just give once, and when you ask me once again, I can't give you? And then says that, if every mankind, every individual, asked for whatever all wanted, and Allah was to give each one of them what everyone wants, not a little particle would lessen from the kingdom of Allah if everything was given to everyone. And then says that this kingdom has been created by me, and I am the sustainer, and I endure it. And then concludes and says that, وَكَيْفَ يَمْقُسُ مُلْكٌ أَنَا قَيِّمُهُ. A kingdom which I have made, how can that lessen? فَيَا بُؤُوسًا لِلْقَانِتِينَ مِنْ رَحْمَتِي. Shame on those who have no faith in my mercy. وَيَا بُؤُوسًا لِمَنْ عَصَانِي. And worse than that, shame on those who commit the sins and who distance from me and are disobedient to me and don't see me, that I am on the watch out. So tawakkul has to be on Allah. No matter what circumstances come across, a person has to rely upon him. In one of these teachings to Rasulullah, when he asks Allah that, Ayyul A'mal Afdal, O God, which is the best act? The Almighty in reply says, Laysa shay'un indi afdalu min at-tawakkul 'alayhi war-ridha bima qasamt, that there is nothing better than relying upon me and being content with the destiny. When we rely upon Allah, we can be certain that what is happening is for our best. For example, if you have some money in your pocket, and if you have your bank accounts filled with money, do you have hope in that? We can't. The money which we possess, which we have in our pockets or in the accounts, we can get mugged, everything is lost. Or the accounts, with what has happened nowadays with identity theft and all that, everything can just drain out. But if something is stored with Allah, that is certain. That can never get lost. So that tawakkul has to be on Allah. We have to do something that we become friends of God. At least worship to inherit, to gain the heaven, or worship for the fear of the hell, or as mentioned yesterday, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. That for, due to the fear of the hellfire, or that position of Allah, we worship Him. A few like the existence of the master of the monotheists, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Imam, he says that مَا عَبَدْتُكَ خَوْفًا مِنْ نَارِكْ وَلَا طَمَعًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكْ. Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, God, I never worshipped you due to the fear of the hellfire, nor did I worship you for the sake of the heaven. Says that, لَكِنْ وَجَدْتُكَ أَهْلًا لِلْعِبَادَةِ فَعَبَدْتُكَ. That I saw you, that you deserve to be worshipped. Because you deserve to be worshipped, I worship you. And again, the same thing of Amir al-Mu'mineen can be seen in Dua Kumayn, that he says that, God, sabartu ala adabik, فَكَيْفَ أَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ فِرَاقِكَ. That God, if you wanted to put me in the hellfire, accept it, I'll do it, I'll go there. But how can I separate from you? How can I separate from you? How can I distance from you? So worship is of three categories, either for the sake of hell, due to the fear of hell or for the sake of the paradise, or a person worships God because of God Himself. As-salamu please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, this is something that we have to ask ourselves, that the worship, the obedience that we have, did we ever worship for Allah throughout our lifetime? Or when we cry for Abdullah al-Hussein, did we ever cry for him? Or was there something attached to this worship of ours? Was there something attached to this crying and shedding of tears of ours? During the time of Rasulullah, a young lad called Zayd ibn Harith, he comes and says to Rasulullah, "What is yaqeen? Teach me." And then Rasulullah, he talks to him about yaqeen, certainty, about tawheed of Allah. And after a while, he says that, "What do you see?" to this young boy. He says that, "I see as if I am in a position that I can see the hell, I can see the heaven. Everything is evident before me. As if there is no barrier here and in the hereafter, and everything is evident before me." And then he says to Rasulullah, "If you could pray so that I seek martyrdom in the forthcoming battle." Rasulullah says that, "I will pray for that." And it so happens that in one of these battles which comes up, this Zayd ibn Harith, this young boy, he is martyred, he is shaheed. So that yaqeen he attains, he achieves at a very young age. It was mentioned that there are 30 stages of obedience, of this servitude. If a person is perfected in them, Quran says, وَإِذَا ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Regarding Prophet Ibrahim says that when his Lord tried Ibrahim with certain words, and Ibrahim, he fulfilled them. Now that he has fulfilled them, and all those stages of worship and ibadah have been completed, he says that, "Surely now I will make you an imam, imam of the mankind." And Prophet Ibrahim says that, "What about my progeny? What about my children? Will you make them an imam as well?" God says, "La yanalu ahdul zalimin." That my covenant, my ahd, my rank, it does not include those who are unjust, who are zalim. Now that he has perfected, he arrives to that rank of being an imam of the community. From the Almighty, Imam Hussein's imamah is from Allah. Only those who are away from zulm, never get involved in any type of zulm, in any type of tyranny of any kind, they get to that rank, which is the rank of imamah. Maybe a person commits sins throughout his life, you can't say that he can become an imam. He can never become an imam. A person never commits a sin. A tiny sin just comes up during his lifetime. Again, that ahd, that rank of imamah cannot be given to them. Or was good throughout his life, just before he passed away, a little sin. Again, that imamah will not be given to him. So a tyrant is a zalim, and he can never become an imam. Now to those individuals which they call Khalifa, that again, it's not a right word. You can't call them Khalifa. Khalifatullah is a very high rank, which a person, not every person can get it. A tyrant can never get it. A zalim can never get it. To them, to the Khalifas, 1, 2, and 3, you can call them kings, you can call them sovereigns, you can call them rulers, but not a Khalifa. Khalifa is a high rank, a very high status. Now these are the linguistics that we have. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was not appointed by Rasulullah, but was appointed by Allah. Quran says that Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalatah. That Prophet, you have to appoint Ali as your successor. If you don't appoint him as your successor, it is as if whatsoever you have done throughout your lifetime, all of that is going to be null and void. Imama is Ahdullah. It comes from Allah. That is why Imam Hussein, he uttered and said and conveyed and delivered that everything as guidance, as an Imam, so that it remains as a motto, as the guidelines for everyone until the end of life. A lesson and advice that in Karbala, if Karbala reflects in us, we are with Hussein. If the enemies of Karbala, we have a faint reflection to them or resemblance to them, then we are with the enemies of the Aba Abdillah. Again, this is something that we have to be very careful. The faintest resemblance with the enemies will make us the enemy. The faintest resemblance with Aba Abdillah will make us with them.
Ya Allah.
It was mentioned, if you recall again, we can't say that. Sometimes a person, he came to me and he said that, Maulana, I'm just a low profile Muslim. We don't have a low profile Muslim. It's either a Muslim or a non-Muslim. A low profile Muslim means nothing. Or it's something, and another person, here in America, we find these extraordinary thoughts a lot. Once in the month of Ramadan, I was invited in one of these mosques, and it was the birthday of Imam Mujtaba. One of the questions came up, and I talked about Imam Al-Asr. And then this learned person, when I finished the lecture, he says to me, Maulana, you talk about Imam Al-Asr too loud, a lot. You've given a lot of authority to him. Who am I to give authority to him? And then says that it's too much. Because we believe he is the most learned person. He has to be the most learned person. No matter deep down in the sea, if someone has a question and he asks Imam, Imam has to have an answer for that. May that be in the space. If they come have a doubt and get no solution, Imam has to have an answer for that. He has to. And then he says that why all that is not required. Imam can come, he can lead the prayers in Masjid al-Haram in Kaaba. All the rest of the affairs will take care of them. Now this is someone who claims to be a mu'min. So we have to be careful that how are we in our doubts. If there are doubts, they have to be removed immediately. We have to correct them. We can't say that we like to be like Amir al-Mu'mineen, his worship is second to none, best. But when it comes to foodstuffs, we eat it with Ma'aviyah because his table is colorful. So we can't have the two together. It's either this or that. So when we say freedom, a freedom has to be in every aspect. Regarding the knowledge which Imam possesses, it's amazing. Among the great prophets that we have is Prophet Musa, the most knowledgeable person of his time. And then he says to Allah, God, I want to learn more. Guide me to someone, if there is anyone who could teach me. From him I could learn. Now this is again a tawadhu. A person has to have that when it comes to learning, he can go and knock any door. Although he is very learned, although he has been assigned as the Prophet, but he wants to learn more. And to him, Prophet Khizr, the address is given that you will come to a place in the Mediterranean, and the sign is that when you come to that point, if the table is laid and a cooked fish was on that table, that cooked fish would fall into the sea and it will become alive. That is the point where you have to come to. He comes to that point and there he meets Prophet Khizr. One after the other, the events unfold. Prophet Khizr is telling him, and all of a sudden Musa says, why did you do that? Why did you kill that boy? Why did you sink that boat? Why did you knock that wall down? And on every instance he said that وَإِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِي صَبْرًا, but you can't be patient. Be patient. And on the, after the third occasion, he says that we split. We can't carry on together. We have to separate. And that was the point when they both split. They come to the same point where they met again, initially. There, a tiny bird comes to that Mediterranean Sea, dips its tiny beak into that water, and drinks a sip, a little tiny drop. And then, when it flew from there, a little bit of that water fell from the beak to the ocean. There Jibreel descends.
Ya Allah.
And says to Prophet Musa, what was that? That tiny beak dip into water, a little bit of water went into the beak, a little bit dropped out. Now how much dropped out? It might be a very tiny, might be as tiny as a pin, a needle. What was that? Prophet Musa says, I don't know. He is the most knowledgeable of his time. Says, I don't know. The same question to Prophet Khizr. He says, I also don't know. And then Jibreel says, that little tiny drop of water which fell out from the beak of the tiny bird is all of the knowledge that was given to you and to Musa, to both of you.
Ya Allah. Ya Allah.
The most knowledgeable, and that tiny thing was given to them. And then he says that in the end of time, Akhir al-Zaman, a prophet would come, and his successor, the knowledge which would be given to them, is as vast as this ocean, all the seas present on this planet Earth. So cannot be compared at all. That tiny drop which fell from the beak with all the oceans. That knowledge is with Imam al-Asr as well.
So when we So
we have to be careful that if doubts do come up, we have to find a solution for that. Not that we sit and design an answer for that. So Ma'asum, he is the most knowledgeable. No matter what problems a person may have, the solution to them also is with the Imam. The lesson which Abu Abdullah here teaches is the lesson of freedom, that you have to be free. And that freedom can be sought by connecting and relating to Allah, by having tawakkul on Him, by relying upon Him. Imam Hussein, in this entire event of Karbala, was selfless in creating this tragedy. In this Ziyaratul Arba'in that we have, it's a small ziyarat reported from our fifth Imam. There, Imam says that بَذَلَ مُهْجَتَهُ فِيكْ لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ عِبَادَكَ مِنَ الْجَهَالَ. That Imam Hussein is someone who gave away everything for you, which is for Allah. Why did he do that? Why did he give away his life, his possession, his belongings, his household, his companion, everything? لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ عِبَادَكَ, so that, O God, your creation, your mankind, your human beings are guided.
Ya Allah.
From ignorance, they are guided. لِيَسْتَنْقِذَ, so that He saves them from that ignorance they are in. It is not like any charity, like homes, like zakat. It's without having any eye on anything. Regardless of whatever was with him, he doesn't say that for the heaven or due to the fear of hell. No, no regard to anything, no attachment to anything. Everything away for Allah. Nor does he say that I gave away all this fi sabilik, fi sabilillah, in your path. No, not for your path, for you. For you. So he had reached that destination, which is God. And there wasn't anything after that. That he had arrived a destination which is Allah Himself, and that is what perfected him. There Prophet Ibrahim, he perfects those different stages of worship and servitude, and Allah says, I make you an Imam. The same thing over here. There Amirul Mu'mineen, he arrived at that rank at a very young age. Here Sayyidul Shuhada again. That's why we are said that a traveler to Karbala, because the ruling is that someone who is a traveler, a musafir, he should, his prayers should be qasr. If it's a 4-rakat prayer, it should be recited in 2-rakat prayers. Sayyid al-Shuhada, he arrived, his destination, which is Allah. And someone who is a traveler to Karbala, the ruling is that that's your home. You don't need to break your prayers. Mm. You can offer your prayers completely because that is the destination. He reached his destination, you've come to your destination, which is Aba Abdullah, your prayers also can be full. You want to observe fasts, you can do them when you are in Karbala, even if you are less than 10 days. Because of that goal, because of that destination. In everything of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, there is a lesson. In an individual is the reflection, the color, the fragrance of Hussein, he is Hussein. If not, he has to get that. And if you remember, it was mentioned last year that someone who possesses the faintest fragrance of Aba Abdullah would be bought at a very lavish price in the hereafter. A very lavish price. So that, and even with regards to this land of Karbala, says that on the day of judgment, when everything will perish, nothing from this earth will remain, says that that plain or that land of Karbala, that will be taken to the heavens as an antique piece, as something of great honor that would be kept over there. For mu'mineen who have that resemblance with Aba Abdullah Hussein, says that for them, they will be honored in a different way in hereafter. So Aba Abdullah, he taught us to free ourselves from every other fake Lord and to relate ourselves to the true Lord, and that is Allah. The atrocities which Aba Abdullah Hussein was afflicted with, they are amazing. Binafsi al-Hussein al-Mutawaffa al-Muhtadhar al-Maqtul al-Mazbuh al-Manhur al-Masmum al-Makruh. That by God, Sayyid al-Shuhada, he is someone who died like an ordinary person who dies. He had a death. In addition to that, he was killed, al-Maqtul. In addition to that, he was slaughtered. In addition to that, he was also manhur. Manhur is the way how some animals, like a camel, is killed by piercing a spear in the neck. He was poisoned. And also he was someone who died of all these stresses and afflictions on the day of Ashura. So not one death, one person dying different types of deaths. Quran says that وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. That when it comes to mu'mineen, says that we will certainly try you with somewhat of a fear, of a hunger, loss of property and lives and fruits, and give good news to the patient. Now these patient, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When something afflicts them, a musibah befalls upon them, they say, we are from Allah and to Allah we return. Regarding Prophet Ayyub, he has been remembered, renowned as the most patient. Says that, inna wajadnahu sabiran ni'mal abd innahu awwab. That we found him very patient. And the reports say that it was as such that he was afflicted with different types of balas. Some of his very charming good sons, 12 of them, all of them die when a roof falls. All the wealth and riches that were given to him, one after the other, were seized away. The farms and fields which were present with Prophet Ayyub, everything was lost. And when Allah found that he is patient, he is sabir, all that was given back to him. Rasulullah, again, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, that you, because of that patience which you observed throughout your life, God says that you have arrived la'ala khuluqin azim. The best character, if someone possesses, it is Rasulullah. Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam is one of the sons of Abu Abdullah and Hussein. Mother is Layla, father is himself, Sayyid al-Shahada. And the father, that is the grandfather, from the maternal side is Urwa bin Mas'ud. And he is one of the four Sadat whom the lineage of Siyada starts from. A very renowned family, and he was also renowned during his life, the maternal grandfather of Ali Akbar, as the one who resembled Prophet Isa the most. A very honorable family. The might which he possesses is the might and strength of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the grandfather from the paternal side. Hazrat Ali Akbar, very beautiful. The looks, the reports, they say that أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Someone who resembles the Prophet of Islam the most. And if someone was reminded of the Prophet of Islam, they saw Hazrat Ali Akbar. Abu al-Faraj al-Isfahani, he says that Mughira, he reports that in one of the meetings, Muawiyah, la'natullah alayhi, he says that, who should be the best successor for me? Who do you think? Everyone has a say, and everyone says that there is no one who could be your successor. We want you to live as long as, so on and so forth, all these flattering words that normally the associates they have. Muawiyah says, what do you say? If there is someone who truly deserves to be my successor, that is Ali Akbar. And then says that he possesses the might, the strength of Bani Hashim, and the generosity of Muawiyah. So even the enemies, they admitted and spoke so loud about him. Imam, when this caravan of light comes to Karbala, Imam has a dream. And he says that to Ali Akbar, and says, Al-Qawm yasurroon wal-manaya yasra'u ma'ahum, that I feel as if death is following this caravan. I smell death all around him. Hazrat Ali Akbar, he says that, Afalasna ala al-haq, are we not on the right path? Why, if that's the case, why don't we leave this place and go and settle down in another place when such fragrance doesn't exist? Imam in reply says and prays for him that be patient. And then says, Jazakallah min waladin khayra ma jaza'an walidihi, that the best reward a son could get from a father, may Allah bless you with that. Quran, with reference to Prophet Ibrahim, says that فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ إِنِّي أَرَى أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ, that to Prophet Ismail, Ibrahim says that I had this dream, I saw I am killing you, I am slaughtering you. The son says that whatsoever you have seen, perform it. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ اِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ, father, do as you've been instructed and you will find me patient. And it so happens that when Prophet Ibrahim comes to the point where Ismail has to be killed, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, so when they both submitted and he threw himself down upon the ground and was to kill him, Allah says, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ عَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, God says that, يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا, that you have been truthful, that was your exam, and that is it. And instead of Ismail being killed, a lamb was being given to him, and that lamb was killed instead of Ismail. But when you come and see the scenario in Karbala, it's not like that. Instructions are there to be killed, will be killed, but nothing changes. It is the actual thing which is happening. All of the companions of Abu Abdullah, they died in the first attack. About 50 of them perished. And the first one to proceed from among the household and Bani Hashim is Hazrat Ali Akbar. The Ashab, they did not let him, let them step forward. Even Imam, when it came to the Ashab, he was reluctant. But when it came to his own household, he said, go immediately. And when Hazrat Ali Akbar steps out to the battlefront, yeah. Imam says, Allahumma shahad ala haula al-qawm faqad baraza ilayhim ashbahu an-nas khalqan wa khulqan bi rasulik. That, O God, be a witness that someone has appeared before them who resembles your Prophet the most. Umar Issaad, he gives the instructions to attack, and they attack. And then Sayyid al-Shuhada, he recites the ayah and says, Inna Allah asta Adama wa Nuhan wa ala Ibrahim wa ala Imran ala al-alamin dhurriyata ba'duha min ba'd wallahu sami'un alim. Ali Akbar, he attacks, he kills a large number from the enemies and is exhausted. Exhausted with all that heavy armor that he has on himself and the numerous number of wounds that have embarked on his body. Comes to Abu Abdullah and says, Father,